an aside to the anthem. It was arranged by Jack Schrader. And the name struck a note in my mind. Jack's grandfather was pastor of the Franklin Community Methodist Church for 30 years. I think he broke a record for Methodists. Jack's aunt was Eloise Love, and she had married Greg Love, who was a friend of my dad's. So it's a Father's Day thing that I'm giving to you. So it's good Methodist background. How's that? Aren't you thrilled? That's an aside, I thought, since I know a little bit of everything about somebody, anything about Jack. I wanted to tell you, no. I won't do that. The lesson this morning is really very interesting because it's adaptable for many situations. And I thought about it particularly during recent days when we have been inundated with negative and positive and negative and positive. I didn't say lying, but negative and positive stuff that just gets kind of weary on our mind and on our soul. It does. And for a Father's Day, I thought of something my dad would always sing in the car, was accentuate the positive. Don't mess with. You got it. See, I knew if I even mentioned it, people would remember it. This is from the 40s. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between. And I thought, wow, what an appropriate idea. And when I said that to Wendy, when she asked for the sermon title, she said, that's awfully long. I said, too bad. Anyway, and this is probably where Jesus was dealing in our scripture. We've got Luke, and he's in one location. John was in another location. They were scattered, and they were still trying to make sense of what was going on with this new ministry. And in this particular lesson, Christ is trying to warn people, don't always be negative. Be positive. Be positive about your outlook on life, on faith, on what's going on and what isn't happening. Someone remarked to me this morning, well, we're aging, aren't we? Yes, we are. It happens to everybody. And we're reminded of it. But we're also reminded that life is curious, even as we age. Things happen that we may not like, but there are positive aspects that we need to dwell on more than we do. And I know some people who are just miserable all the time. And they actually feel good being miserable because they can't feel good being good because they don't know what it is. And we have a neighbor. A new neighbor in our community where we're living now, who's always complaining. Always. Always. Even about herself, she's complaining. And I just sort of smile, say, that's nice. Whatever makes you happy. So if you open your Bibles now to this scripture, this is a really neat bit of text because you don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Jesus asked the question, what time is it? He's asking you to think positively about something. Okay, we're looking at Luke 21, verses 5 through 19. And you'll see in your Bibles signs of the end of the age. That's the subtitle. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God, but Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they ask, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they're about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you're not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilences in the various places, and fearful events, and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. The only time that we have to be concerned with is God's time. God's time." The Bible provides no further information than what I just read to you about this. God's time. Not because of anything that we would recognize really as an emergency coming down with terrible force upon our life. There are too many emergencies, for heaven's sake. Don't we see them all the time? Blowing up volcanoes, the tragedy of immigration, the hatefulness going on in the world, the curiosity of North Korea, the curiosity of South Korea, the awfulness that's still going on in Afghanistan and Syria, Yemen, another tragedy. Tragedies unfold. Pictures of homeless still in our country of plenty. Tragedy after tragedy. There are too many things going on. There's always some kind of a problem. Whenever anybody wants to do anything, God's emergencies don't look like our emergencies. They really haven't. And they don't. Look at this scripture. We're in an emergency now. Individually and as a nation, we're confronted by truths that insist on facing us as a person. Gazing into our eyes so that we have to say yes to the emergency or just ignore it completely. I don't have to list the emergencies, do I? You know in your own mind, and you're not stupid. Are we? Christianity is not always a creed. It's not always a way of thinking about life in its perfect way. It's the I and the thou of God Almighty who addresses us. It's a moment of meeting and hearing again God's word in marvelous ways. The time is now to accentuate the positive. I'm convinced more than ever before. To accentuate the positive, the Bible never pauses as the TV announcer does between what's going on and a commercial which seems to zap in and change our focus. The time is now to accentuate the positive of being a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it's always later than we're inclined to suppose. Not wickedness so much as just silly dodges that we do as human beings to keep from coming to grips with anything we happen not to like or we disagree with. This is what makes it late. When our pigeonholes for everything and everybody, our precedents, our traditions, our pride, our prejudice, oh, we have them. The Jewish people almost eliminated themselves when we look at the Old Testament because of what their religion had become based on hate. Look at Israel in 2018 and the hatred that's being espoused by them toward the Palestinians. And we look at the scripture. There was too little left in it for a real God who could meet them face to face. And when he showed himself, even when we're reading this scripture from Luke, when Jesus made himself known, people ignored him completely. Being positive was Christ. Being negative was the way things were. Could it be that before anything else, we have to know that we are to be responsible agents for change? What we've had and what we've been will not do. The time is calling for new thinking, new approaches. What indeed shall be said of the Christianity that is laying before us is so familiar with all the words in the Bible, faith, hope, and love, but doesn't concern itself with the suffering world that's going on all around us. When I hear Christians say it's good to keep kids in cages or tents, and separate them from their parents. It's not America. It's not Christian. I read one good thing this week. The Southern Baptist Convention, after 37 years of being absolutely austere in conservative close-mindedness, changed at their general convention by 70%. 70% accepted a progressive idea that the church needs to be devoted to Jesus Christ, not to a political party or a political theme. That women can be and should be ordained and given responsibility in the life of the church. Holy Toledo, I thought. Accentuate the positive. It's going to take that for us to get out of the mire and the mess we're in now as a nation. And as a church. Christianity assumes many important obligations. It has over the years looked at what we need to be doing as a nation, as a people, as a church. We've argued, admittedly. We've split. Presbyterians love to split. And for no good reason, usually. I see where one division that broke away several years ago is having fits because women want to be ordained and have the privilege of teaching. What's that going to do? What's that going to do? We're all one in the eyes of God. We are all one in the eyes of Jesus Christ. There is no difference between any of us at any time, ever. There are neither male nor female, slave nor free, black or white, green or purple, gay or straight. You know, the Sanhedrin spent much of its time thinking about the negative. Good King Caiaphas at last figured out what was expedient. It was that maybe the Sanhedrin's right. Maybe the leaders are right. We ought to get rid of this guy from Nazareth. They did. We have to know with equal knowledge that that ending was also a beginning, that God was bent on giving to rescue all of us from ourselves. The gift of Christ. It's yours. It's mine. It's that simple. It's that simple. A gift of love and hope. Here's the positive. Here's the positive. Here's where all Christians, especially we who are the body called McLeod Memorial Presbyterian Church, Bartow, Florida, USA. Here, we are the loving power of Christ, and we must show it. And we can, and we do. You have, and you will. Accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. And for God's sake, don't mess with Mr. In-Between. God, our Father, we're grateful for your spirit and your love, for your hope, for your forgiveness, and for your strength. Bless us now, in Christ's holy name. Amen.